It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday, the 25th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. California is going through the worst drought in over a century, and that means water usage connected to some of the state's big products, like avocados and almonds, has come under scrutiny. So what about California's water-cooled data centers? Andrew Fitzgerald at the Wall Street Journal this week wrote about how everything from our Netflix shows to our Instagram photos are now being looked at. How much water do these data centers use every year?
There are no hard data on exactly how many data centers cooled by water there are in the country or in California, but there are hundreds in the state. And at the high end of industry estimates, the amount of water that they use could be as much as 158,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools or more.
Fitzgerald says with the governor telling businesses to cut back on water usage, data centers might see failures before things get better. All this week, we've been reporting a series on a place where technology doesn't move very easily, prison. Our series is called Jailbreak. Today, we're going to hear from a former inmate who did something surprising while serving a nearly seven-year term. While he was incarcerated in Northern California's San Quentin prison for manufacturing a controlled substance, Tulio Cardozo learned how to code. He's out now. Tulio, thank you for talking with me.
Hey, it's a pleasure. It's a really big honor as well, Ben. Thank you so much.
How does the average inmate learn about technology in prison? What was your experience?
You know, the thing about prisons is that for the most part, they actually want to keep you far, far away from technology. But in some prisons, you do have the opportunity to work as a porter or an office clerk, that kind of a thing. And you'll actually have the opportunity to be able to touch a keyboard without automatically getting in trouble for it. That was how I educated myself and learned programming, very light level, like scripting languages and stuff inside of Microsoft Office. There's a thing called Visual Basic for Applications, and quite literally, there was no help around. I just had to read the help files and figure it out.
You were in prison for 7 years. When you got out, what was that transition like?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I read a lot of books. I already had a confidence that, you know, I had a skill that actually somebody would appreciate. So when I finally got out, I was left in a bus stop in Tucson, Arizona, in the desert. And immediately, like, when I got on the bus, it was the middle of the night, the ceiling glowed with cell phones. And that's when it hit me really hard. Like, wow, technology is everywhere. And, you know, I realized that although I had these high ambitions to learn great programming languages, like I had to, like, take a step back and just start at the beginning and work my way there.
Do you think that former inmates can bring a lot of new ideas to the startup community?
Absolutely. What happens is in the absolute absence of all of this outside input, you tend to really get creative about what you think you know, and you come up with interesting new ideas. And I think that people are coming out, they don't have the programming in their head or the conditioning to understand, like, there is a set way to do things.
But ideas are a form of escape.
Exactly, exactly. You know, it's a great opportunity to not really be aware of what's impossible so that you allow yourself to just flow into, you know, what would be cool.
Tulio, thank you very much.
It's a big pleasure to be here with you. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
By the way, Tulio's current focus, making sure other people on the inside get the same opportunities he did. You can find more of our Jailbreak series all this week at MarketplaceTech.org. This week, USA Network premiered a show called Mr. Robot. The protagonist, a hacker, he works as a cybersecurity guy by day. At night, he targets people he thinks are doing wrong.
I understand what it's like to be different. I'm very different, too.
Elliot Rogers isn't exactly a hero. He's addicted to mining people's data. He's bad at communicating with people in person, except for a hacker leader played by Christian Slater. The show has already been applauded by real-life hacker collective Anonymous, in part for a depiction of tech and hacking that looks like the real deal. We visited the set of Mr. Robot in Queens, New York recently and sat down with executive producer Sam Esmail.
We're here on the set of Mr. Robot, and we're talking to Sam Esmail. He's the creator and executive producer of the show. Sam, thank you for chatting with us.
You're very welcome.
What are the challenges of dramatizing a screen-based storyline?
We're not going to get everything right, because at the end of the day, coding and hacking takes time, and I can't show 3 hours every week on one simple hack. So I have to cut things down, and, you know, I do have to serve the story, but we hope to get at least the details right. We don't shoot any of the computer screens with green screen. The actors have to type what's on the screen so that all that action reaction is completely real. They're not just staring at a green screen and just not completely comprehending what's going on.
When we first came in and you were talking about the character is working right now, you like really needing to sort of help direct him. And Christian Slater,
Christian,
tell me a story about
him. Yeah, so Christian, I remember he thought his phone was hack-proof because he got a case. No joke. Because he got a hard case for his phone.
And it wasn't one of those cases that are actually made to make your phone hack-proof. It was just a regular case.
What does it matter if you've got iCloud turned on? Whatever you put on your phone.
If you're syncing your photos, you're screwed anyway.
It's crazy. But I've since told him to turn off iCloud, so he's not using that. So hackers, do not try and hack into Christian Slater's phone.
Sam Esmail is the creator and the executive producer of Mr. Robot. Sam, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The full first episode of Mr. Robot is posted at facebook.com/marketplacetech. Oh, and quick tech PSA for you. You can now use Facebook's messaging app even if you don't have a Facebook account. A good reminder that communication is king when it comes to the business of tech right now. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.